Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We're continuing our reading of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita on this special day, which is the disappearance day of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Srila Rasikananda, both great Vaishnavas in our line. And we're on the Adi Lila, Chapter 3, the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And last night in our readings, we made it all the way to text number 76. So that's where we're taking up today. How is everyone today? Good. Welcome. Good to see you all. Lord Nityananda's very features indicate that he is the subduer of the unbelievers. All sins and unbelievers flee from the loud shouts of Advaita Acharya. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the initiator of Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. One who worships him through Sankirtan is fortunate indeed. Such a person is truly intelligent, whereas others who have but a poor fund of knowledge must endure the cycle of repeated birth and death. Of all sacrificial performances, the chanting of the Lord's holy name is the most sublime. Purport: Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the father and inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement. One who worships him by sacrificing his life, money, intelligence, and words for the Sankirtan movement is recognized by the Lord and endowed with his blessings. All others may be said to be foolish, for of all sacrifices in which a man may apply his energies, a sacrifice made for the Sankirtan movement is most glorious. One point is that this life is only for a few days. Although, through identification with the material body, one may cling to this world and therefore hope against hope that one will live forever. Sometimes people actually have their bodies frozen after they die with the hopes that they may be revived later. And there's a sense of dread that any misfortune might come or that one might die. In fact, the whole topic of death is taboo. And there are many distractions through which one can completely forget about it. But a transcendentalist is aware of the fact that this life is very temporary and one can leave in any time, and therefore takes advantage to the greatest degree of the opportunity afforded by human life. Labvam sudulabam idam bahusam bhavante manusha martadam anityam apihadira. This Shastra says that it's very rare to get a human life. You see, you have hands and fingers and toes and a body and a mind that is fully equipped to inquire about God and to render service to God. The tongue of a bird or a salamander or a raccoon isn't equipped to chant Hare Krishna. At least I haven't seen any chanting lately. But the human tongue can do that. And therefore, to waste time doing anything else is the greatest loss. And in every age, there's a prescription for how to best worship Krishna. And in the age of Kali Yuga, process of Sankirtan, marked especially by the chanting of Hare Krishna, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, is the most efficacious of all the different processes. So one need only concentrate one's intention on this kind of sacrifice. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you can't think of me constantly, then just try to practice the tenets of devotional service so that you'll come to the point where you can think of me. And if you can't do that, he said, then work for me, which means do your work, because you have that momentum, you're already working and it's very difficult to stop, and then give the fruits of your labor in order to help spread Krishna consciousness, and then you'll think of me in the process of doing your work. Otherwise, if you just work hard and you keep everything yourself, you'll become more and more entangled and you'll feel more and more anxiety, and you also won't make spiritual progress. And then the whole thing's a waste. So here, the author is telling us that those who give their time, energy, wealth to the Sankirtan movement are most intelligent, because they've understood the essence of life. That it's a temporary stay here in the material world, and that the ultimate goal is to be promoted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by sacrifice, making divine sacrifice. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvans, purifying, and it situates one, saukyam twanantam, in unlimited happiness, not like this material world, which is characterized by, at the best, the very best, mixed happiness, which is always disappointing. It looks like it should be perfect, but it never is. Text number 79. One who says that 10 million Ashwamedha sacrifices are equal to the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna is undoubtedly an atheist. He is sure to be punished by Yamaraj. Purport: in the list of the 10 kinds of offenses in chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hare Krishna, the eighth offense is Dharma Vrata Tyaga Hutadi Sarva Shubha Kriya Samyam Api Pramadaha. One should never consider the chanting of the holy name of Godhead equal to pious activities like giving charity to brahmanas or saintly persons, opening charitable educational institutions, distributing free food, and so on. The results of pious activities do not equal the results of chanting the holy name of Krishna. The Vedic scriptures say, Go koti danam grahane bhagasya prayag gangodaka kalpavasa jagnayutam miru suvarna danam govinda kirtair nasamam shatam shahai. Even if one distributes 10 million cows in charity during an eclipse of the sun, lives at the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna for millions of years, or gives a mountain of gold in sacrifice to the brahmanas, he does not earn 100th part of the merit derived from chanting Hare Krishna. In other words, one who accepts the chanting of Hare Krishna to be some kind of pious activity is completely misled. Of course it is pious, but the real fact is that Krishna and his name being transcendental are far above all mundane pious activity. Pious activity is on the material platform, but chanting the holy name of Krishna is completely on the spiritual plane. Therefore, although Pashandis do not understand this, pious activity can never compare to the chanting of the holy name. Text number 80. Bhagavata Sandarbha Granthera Mangala Charani E Shloka Jiva Gosai Kariyachena Vyakyani. In the auspicious introduction to the Bhagavat Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami has given the following verse as an explanation. Anta Krishnam Bahir Gauram Darshi Tangari Vaibhavam Kalo Sankirtanat Yaisma Krishna Chaitanyam Ashritaha. I take shelter of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is outwardly of a fair complexion, but is inwardly Krishna himself. In this age of Kali, he displays his expansions, his angas and upangas, by performing congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has placed the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam quoted in text 52, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, as the auspicious introduction to his Bhagavat Sandarbha or Shat Sandarbha. He has composed this text, 81, which is in effect an explanation of the Bhagavatam verse as the second verse of the same work. The verse from Srimad Bhagavatam was enunciated by Karabhajana, one of the nine great sages, and it is elaborately explained by the Sarva Sambhadani, Jiva Goswami's commentary on his own Shat Sandarbha. Anta Krishna refers to one who is always thinking of Krishna. This attitude is a predominant feature of Srimati Radharani. Even though many devotees always think of Krishna, none can surpass the gopis, among whom Radharani is the leader in thinking of Krishna. Radharani's Krishna consciousness surpasses that of all other devotees. Lord Chaitanya accepted the position of Srimati Radharani to understand Krishna. Therefore, he was always thinking of Krishna in the same way as Radharani. By thinking of Lord Krishna, he always overlapped Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who was outwardly very fair, with a complexion like molten gold, simultaneously manifested his eternal associates, opulences, expansions, and incarnations. He preached the process of chanting Hare Krishna, and those who are under his lotus feet are glorious. Text 82. Upa Puraniha Shuni Sri Krishna Vachan Kripa Kori Vyasa Prati Kari Jachina Katan. In the Upa Puranas, we hear Sri Krishna showing his mercy to Vyasadeva by speaking to him as follows. Ham eva kuchid brahman sanyasa ashramam ashritaha hari bhaktim grahayami kalo papa hatan naran. O learned brahmana, sometimes I accept the renounced order of life to induce the fallen people of the age of Kali to accept devotional service to the Lord. Bhagavad Bharata Shastra Agama Puran Chaitanya Krishna Avatari Prakata Praman. Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahabharata, the Puranas, and other Vedic literatures all give evidence to prove that Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of Krishna. Pratyakshe Dehaha Nana Prakat Prabhav Alaukika Karma Alaukika Anubhav. One can also directly see Lord Chaitanya's manifest influence in his uncommon deeds and uncommon Krishna conscious realization. But faithless unbelievers do not see what is clearly evident, just as owls do not see the rays of the sun. Text 87. Tam Shila Rupa Chaditai Parama Prakrishta Satvena Sat Vikataya Prabalashcha Shastrai Prakyata Daiva Paramarta Vidam Mataischa Naivasura Prakritaya Pravavanti Bodhum. O my Lord, those influenced by demoniac principles cannot realize you. Although you are clearly the Supreme, by dint of your exalted activities, forms, character, and uncommon power, which are confirmed by all the revealed scriptures in the quality of goodness and the celebrated transcendentalists in the divine nature. Purport. This is a verse from the Stotra Ratna of Jamunacharya, the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya. The authentic scriptures describe the transcendental activities, features, form, and qualities of Krishna, and Krishna explains himself in the Bhagavad Gita, the most authentic scripture in the world. He is further explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered the explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. Lord Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by these authentic scriptures. not by vox populi. In the modern age, a certain class of fools think that they can vote anyone into the position of God as they can vote a man into the position of a political executive head. For the transcendental supreme personality of God, it is perfectly described in the authentic scriptures. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that only fools deride him, thinking that anyone can speak like Krishna. Even according to historical references, Krishna's activities are most uncommon. Krishna has affirmed, "I am God," and he has acted accordingly. Mayavadis think that everyone can claim to be God, but that is their illusion, for no one else can perform such extraordinary activities as Krishna. When he was a child on the lap of his mother, he killed the demon Putana. Then he killed the demons Trinavarta, Vasasura, and Paka. When he was a little more grown up, he killed the demons Agasura and Rushabhasura. Therefore, God is God from the very beginning. The idea that somehow someone can become God by meditation is ridiculous. By hard endeavor, one may realize his godly nature, but he will never become God. The asuras or demons who think that anyone can become God are condemned. The authentic scriptures are compiled by personalities like Vyasadeva, Narada, Asita, and Parashara, who are not ordinary men. All the followers of the Vedic way of life have accepted these famous personalities whose authentic scriptures conform to the Vedic literatures. Nevertheless, the demoniac do not believe their statements, and they purposefully oppose the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. They're known as miscreants, as they put stumbling blocks on the path. Today it is fashionable for common men to write whimsical words as so-called incarnations of God and be accepted as authentic by other common men. This demoniac mentality is condemned in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, wherein it is said that those who are miscreants and the lowest of mankind, who are fools and asses, cannot accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of their demoniac nature. They are compared to ulukas, or owls, who cannot open their eyes in the sunlight. Because they cannot bear the sunlight, they hide themselves from it and never see it. They cannot believe that there is such illumination. 88. Lord Sri Krishna tries to hide himself in various ways, but nevertheless his pure devotees know him as he is. Ulangita Trividha Sima Samatishayi Sambhavanam Tava Pari Vradima Subhavam Maya Balena Bhavatapi Nikuyamahanam Pashanti Kechit Anisham Twad Ananya Bhava. O my Lord, everything within material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequaled and unsurpassed, are always transcendental to such limitations. You sometimes cover such characteristics by your own energy, but nevertheless, your unalloyed devotees are always able to see you under all circumstances. Purport: this verse is also quoted from the Stotra Ratna, number 13, of Jamunacharya. Everything covered by the influence of Maya is within the limited boundaries of space, time, and thought. Even the greatest manifestation we can conceive, the sky, also has limitations. From the authentic scriptures, however, it is evident that beyond the sky is a covering of 7 layers, each 10 times thicker than the one preceding it. The covering layers are vast, but with or without covering, space is limited. Our power to think about space and time is also limited. Time is eternal. We may imagine billions and trillions of years, but that will still be an inadequate estimate of the extent of time. Our imperfect senses, therefore, cannot think of the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nor can we bring him within the limitations of time or our thinking power. His position is accordingly described by the word Ulangita. He is transcendental to space, time, and thought. Although he appears within them, he exists transcendentally, even when the Lord's transcendental existence is disguised by space, time, and thought. However, pure devotees of the Supreme Lord can see him in his personal features beyond space, time, and thought. In other words, even though the Lord is not visible to the eyes of ordinary men, those who are beyond the covering layers because of their transcendental devotional service can still see him. The sun may appear covered by a cloud, but actually it is the eyes of the tiny people below the cloud that are covered, not the sun. If those tiny people rose above the cloud in an airplane, they could then see the sunshine and the sun without impediment. Similarly, although the covering of Maya is very strong, Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivahi shaguna mayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. To surpass the influence of the illusory energy is very difficult, but those who are determined to catch hold of the lotus feet of the Lord are freed from the clutches of Maya. Therefore, who is freed from the clutches of Maya? Okay. Therefore, pure devotees can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but demons, because of their miscreant behavior, cannot understand the Lord, in spite of seeing the many revealed scriptures and the uncommon activities of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Someone must be determined to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, all kinds of cultivation of knowledge in this material world becomes infected by the three modes of material nature, and therefore it obscures one's vision of the Lord. In fact, Krishna reveals himself only to those he chooses. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shutena. Tame vaisha vrinute tena labhyas. That one can't attain Krishna by any amount of personal endeavor, but if he chooses to reveal himself, then he can. Moni, can you take off Prabhupada's cheddar and hat? It's too warm for all that stuff. So, Krishna, it says in the Padma Purana, Atashri Krishna Amadi Nabhaved Grayam Indraye Sevan Mukhi Jivado Swayameva Spuratyada. That one can't see Krishna with the blunt material senses, but Krishna reveals himself being pleased with the devotee for his seva, for service. And that seva begins with the tongue. And one can repeat the names of Krishna. For instance, there's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which goes, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this mantra means, O my Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. And the names that are in the mantra are absolute, and therefore the Lord literally dances on the tongue of the devotee who chants his holy name. And in the beginning, the process of chanting may sometimes seem tasteful, and at other times it may seem to be work or uninteresting because of a kind of diseased condition which Rupa Goswami compares to jaundice. When one has jaundice, sweet things taste bitter. And sugarcane happens to be one of the curatives for jaundice. So a doctor may tell you when you have jaundice that every day you need to drink sugarcane juice. But when you drink the sugarcane juice in a jaundiced condition, the sugar taste bitter and unappealing. However, based on the prescription of the doctor, one will continue drinking the juice. And gradually, as the disease diminishes, the taste for the sugar in the drink will increase. So similarly, in the beginning, the chanting of Hare Krishna may seem unappealing. However, it's a curative for the disease called avidya, or ignorance. One who chants Hare Krishna can't be without knowledge. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janya Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam, that by rendering service to Lord Sri Krishna, concomitantly one gains knowledge and detachment from the world. And therefore, a person who takes the prescription and chants Hare Krishna will gradually be cured from this ignorance which covers his vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and will come to see the Lord everywhere, and Krishna will reveal himself. Those who have some motive, for instance, they're envious of God and they want to discount his actual existence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can never know him. He reserves the right to conceal himself from those who are motivated, and only those who are willing to completely surrender, as mentioned in this verse, Daiva Hiesha Kunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Prapadyante Mayam Etam Turantite, that only one who surrenders to me completely can cross beyond Maya. Otherwise, it's hard going here in the material world. It means Duratyaya. It's all hard going. Not just in this life, next life, and the life after that, and there's no end to it all. So one should intelligently decide once and for all to surrender to Krishna, because inevitably one has wasted many lifetimes trying to avoid the devotional service of the Lord. So one can therefore just declare, this one lifetime I will sacrifice only for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and make an experiment and see what happens. And one will be delighted with the results, because as soon as one decides to surrender to Krishna, then there are no more difficulties in life. Jeev Krishna Das Abishwas Korletor or Tukonai. Not that material nature will not give stumbling blocks or problems, but one won't be disturbed by those things who surrender to Krishna. He'll be fully equipped to deal with all these things. Comments so far? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So in the verse that you mentioned, right, the Daivi is a Gunamai, does that mean one has to transcend the three modes of material nature to really surrender?
No, it means that if you surrender, then you'll transcend the three modes of material nature.
Okay.
First surrender, then you'll transcend. Otherwise, there's no hope.
Okay.
You were mentioning that jaundice example. So I was just remembering the Bhaktivinoda Thakur song, Anechi Osadhi Maya Nasi Varu Lagi Harinam Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. Now I have, in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, like, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought this Harinam Mahamantra as Osadhi, and he has given, and by taking this we can...
Ashaudi means medicine. So he's speaking on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the song, that I've brought you this medicine to cure the disease of Maya. So now he said, beg for it. You should really want this. It's a sign of illusion that one wouldn't want it, or wouldn't be eager for it, or want to beg for it, try to get the Mahamantra. The idea that I'm okay, I don't need that, is complete illusion. That's the problem. I think I'm okay, that's the problem. Anything else?
I like the comment that you read in the beginning, which was One who worships the Lord through Sankirtan is very fortunate indeed. And I was just concentrating on the fortunate part of it, that, you know, I never looked at it that way, that we are involved so much in book distribution, and especially that sentence today made so much more sense, because we are going out on book distribution and we have the Hari Nam there.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Vittal. It's nice when Vittal comes in because he's so enthusiastic. He likes to hear. It's a reciprocal relationship. When someone likes to hear, then it becomes more enlivening to speak. Okay, so the next verse is verse number 90. And we're reading from the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And this verse says, those whose nature is demoniac cannot know Krishna at any time, but he cannot hide himself from his pure devotees. Purport, people who develop the nature of asuras like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu can never know Krishna, the personality of Godhead, by challenging the authority of Godhead. But Sri Krishna cannot hide himself from his pure devotees. Tva bhuta sargo lokesmin daiva asura evacha vishnu bhakta smito daiva asuras tad viparya yoho. This is from the Padma Purana. And the translation is, there are two classes of men in the created world. One consists of the demoniac and the other of the godly. The devotees of Lord Vishnu are the godly, whereas those who are just the opposite are called demons. Vishnu bhaktas or devotees in Krishna consciousness are known as devas, demigods. Atheists who do not believe in God or who declare themselves God are asuras, demons. Asuras always engage in atheistic material activities, exploring ways to utilize the resources of matter to enjoy sense gratification. The Vishnu bhaktas, Krishna conscious devotees, are also active, but their objective is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotional service. Superficially, both classes may appear to work in the same way, but their purposes are completely opposite because of a difference in consciousness. Asuras work for personal sense gratification, whereas devotees work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Both work conscientiously, but their motives are different. Both work conscientiously, but their motives are different. That's a big key in understanding devotional service and the Bhagavad Gita and everything else, because it's based on our motive. If one's motive is to serve Krishna, even if one isn't completely successful, then one is successful. And if one is to serve, motive is to serve oneself, even if one is able to deliver in grand style, then it's a complete waste of time. So Krishna notices the motive within the heart. Therefore, he's called Bhavagrahi Janardana, which means that he knows the intention of the devotee in the heart to serve him. And that is the most important aspect. Of course, one who has the intention to serve Krishna perfectly will be given all kinds of facility to do so by Krishna's arrangement. But even if one isn't, if one maintains that motive amidst all kinds of obstacles, still he'll please Krishna. Bhaktyatu tosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. Although Gajendra was an elephant and unequipped to offer prayers very proficiently to the Supreme Lord, still Krishna accepted them. And although Jatayu was a bird, and an old bird at that, and was not fit to fight with Ravana, still, because he did his best with the motive to please Lord Ram, Ram was pleased with him, even though he lost the fight. So it doesn't matter win or lose, if your motive is to serve Krishna, then you're properly situated. What you find? Okay. Yeah.
This is about working conscientiously. Mukharvinda just told me yesterday that he never wants to become a vice president in a company, because he was observing my new vice president, And last Tuesday when you were reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita to us late into the night, my vice president, she was sending me emails and she was demanding some certain things, and it went on pretty much even after your session was over. And we were just thinking that, you know, how hard she works, but it's for a very different, you know, reason like that.
Yeah. Conscientiously. Second part of the purport, the Krishna conscious movement is meant for the devas or devotees. Demons cannot take part in Krishna conscious activities, nor can devotees in Krishna consciousness take part in demoniac activities or work like cats and dogs simply for sense gratification. Such activity does not appeal to those in Krishna consciousness. Devotees accept only the bare necessities of life to keep themselves fit to act in Krishna consciousness. The balance of their energy is used for developing Krishna consciousness, through which one can be transferred to the abode of Krishna by always thinking of him, even at the point of death. Yes, a question from Vittal.
Maharaj, on that last point, which was there in the previous verse,
yes,
where we said that devotees actually work just enough to maintain themselves,
uh-huh,
right? So, when we are working in a corporate life, should that be our attitude, or should our attitude be more like, you know, that this work itself is like going to be an offering for Krishna? So, basically, I try to do just the minimum work which is necessary, so that. Anyway, I'm not too hung up on getting a promotion or whatever. Should that be the attitude, or should I say, okay, this work is somehow going to aid me in Krishna consciousness, so it should be like an offering for Krishna, like Arjuna is doing? Should that promote?
One thing you can notice is that some people work very conscientiously and they get fired. And other people don't work so conscientiously and they do just fine. And some people are just, wealth just comes to them naturally. And other people, it doesn't matter if they work 2-3 jobs, still they're always just a little bit short. And therefore Narada Muni recommends that one not work so hard for those things that are already predestined. And he said, you should work hard for those things that are not predestined, which is your surrender. Your wealth, your happiness in the material world is locked in. You're not going to get more or less than you deserve according to your previous karmas. But Krishna consciousness, you can expand unlimitedly. You can advance as much as you like. Nothing can hold you back. And you'll notice that sometimes devotees have a change of heart and they become very conscientious to advance in Krishna consciousness. Then suddenly people begin to notice that they've become advanced. And the answer is that you have to balance your life by keeping a healthy practice of Krishna consciousness going. Therefore, then you'll have the intelligence to work in a way in which you don't become too entangled. And at the same time, you're able to perform the work that you're expected to do. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was known as a high court judge to complete more cases than all of his colleagues, and a higher percentage of them were not overturned. In other words, sometimes cases are done very quickly and then there's a mistake legally, and therefore there's appeal, and therefore they get overturned on appeal because of a legal error. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't make errors, and he did more cases than others. So for a devotee who's very careful about his or her practice of Krishna consciousness, he or she is able to also do work in secular world in an expert way, so as to be efficient and save time for Krishna consciousness. If you become neglectful in your work, you may have to work harder later on in your in other words, somebody says, oh, you're slacking or something like that because you don't care, you only, then maybe you'll have to do more in the long run. But if you're very attentive, do what you have to do efficiently so you can get out and do your hearing and chanting, then you can keep a balanced life. That help? Okay. Advaita Acharya Goswami is an incarnation of the Lord as a devotee. His loud calling was the cause of Krishna's incarnation. Whenever Sri Krishna desires to manifest his incarnation on earth, first he creates the incarnations of his respectable predecessors. Thus, respectable personalities, such as his father, mother, and spiritual master, all take birth on earth first. Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, Srimati Sachi Mata, and Srila Jagannath Misha all appeared with Sri Advaita Acharya. Purport, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends in his human form, he sends ahead all his devotees who act as his father, teacher, and associates in many roles. Such personalities appear before the descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Before the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there appeared his devotees like Sri Madhavendra Puri, his spiritual master, Sri Ishwara Puri, his mother, Srimati Sachi Devi, his father, Sri Jagannath Mishra, and Sri Advaita Acharya. Text 96. Advaita Acharya having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. No one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Purported, Advaita Acharya saw the entire world to be engaged in activities of material piety and impiety without a trace of devotional service or Krishna consciousness anywhere. The fact is that in this material world there is no scarcity of anything except Krishna consciousness. Material necessities are supplied by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. We sometimes feel scarcity because of our mismanagement, but the real problem is that people are out of touch with Krishna consciousness. Everyone is engaged in material sense gratification, but people have no plan for making an ultimate solution to their real problems, namely birth, disease, old age, and death. These four material miseries are called bhava-rog, or material diseases. They can be cured only by Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the greatest benediction for human society. We welcome everyone. Nice to see you. Hare Krishna. And also, we welcome everyone who's joined us on the internet this morning. If you'd like to join us, you can text in 650-245-7018. That's 650-245-7018. You can also join us via conference call, and the number will be posted on the website, which is the iskonofsiliconvalley.org.com. ISKCON of Silicon Valley? ISKCONSiliconValley.com. Is it also still virtualtemple.org? We'll get you there too. It's still there. They tried to take it away, but we kept it. And we have a text that's come in.
It's coming from Bhakta Nikhil. And he says,
Bhakta Nikhil, Hare Krishna. So loyal. He's always there.
Yeah, he says, he asked me to tell this to you later, but I think I'll tell it now. he says it's so nectarian to listen to your class live on Wednesday after such a long time. And he misses us all in separation. And begs you to keep him engaged in the service so that he can continue to progress in Mahaprabhu's footsteps. And for today, he says that he really liked the point of surrender being the first thing needed to progress in spiritual life. And he says the example is Arjuna at the battlefield. As soon as he said, I'm your devotee, he got the divine vision.
It is the first thing, the middle thing, and the last thing. You need to progress in spiritual life. If all else fails, just surrender. And all else will fail, it always does. So it's something to think about, really.
Surrender is such a big relief.
Yeah, it's sweet surrender. And one thing is, if one even considers it, in fact, you could just sit on the couch and consider full surrender. Just think about it. Think, maybe I'll fully surrender. What would happen if I fully surrender? Even by thinking about it, considering it. What are you doing sitting there all day? I'm considering fully surrender to Krishna. Okay, go ahead. Just by doing that, one will feel ecstasy and relief. On the other hand, making plans to advance in the material world and to become situated, to adjust one's situation in such a way that one will be able to someday enjoy material life immediately causes misery. Of course, that doesn't mean that we neglect our material duties, because there's a way in which we're obligated to certain kinds of duties, and we should have a place for everything and everything in its place so that we don't become overburdened by these things. For instance, if you let a lot of junk pile up in your house, then it'll be hard to find your japa beads and to keep a clear head. So one should be meticulous about the way one lives and cultivate the mode of satvagun, or the mode of goodness. You should clean the house meticulously. It means sweep it, mop it, dust it. There should be no traces of the rajagun or satvagun in your home. And in this way, one can have a peaceful mind and think about surrendering to Krishna. Yeah, so surrender. We're forced to surrender anyway in the material world. At the end, you have to surrender everything. I notice living entities don't like it. They want to be independent. And in fact, if you see a little ant walking and you go like this, and block his path, he'll go around your hand, and then you block him again, he'll go around, under, over. He'll say, let me go, I'm doing my thing here. Everyone wants to go their own little direction. And so this concept of surrender in the material world is not unknown. People have to surrender their passport sometimes, or they have to surrender their time, they get thrown in jail. They have to surrender their time to take care of family members they weren't planning on taking care of, and so forth. So if you preemptively surrender to Krishna, however, you can bypass all these other things. Preemptively surrender. You can opt out. There's an opt-out option on the little box. They give you a little form when you come to the material world. They say at any time you'd like to opt out, you just check the little box and hand in your form, and you say, okay, I'd like to quit now. I give up. I tried everything. It didn't work. I admit it. And now I'm going to opt out. I'm going to surrender to Krishna. Then you just mark the little box, you hand it in, and say, okay, that's it. I quit. And yeah, go ahead, Shraddha.
About opt out, that was my comment, was that
optout.com.
Yeah. That people sometimes don't know that how to opt out. Recently there was an email on ISKCON General, somebody wanted to opt out of the distribution list. So the person sent an email to everybody on the distribution list, like saying like, hey, get me out of that. And I was trying to read and see like what prompted the person to opt out, and then at the bottom of that email it said, you know, click here to unsubscribe.
Click here
like,
to unsubscribe.
It was there for,
yeah, yeah, so you want to look for that on the screen of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Click here to unsubscribe to the material world.
Yeah.
I like to unsubscribe. Okay, another text came in.
Quite a few of them, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'll summarize them. There are two people, I mean, of course, all of them are, but two who said that they're enjoying the class.
Who's
this
that?
This class is number one, Avantika, who's actually sick today.
Avantika?
Yeah. And
she's not feeling well?
She's not feeling well. She's got fever, cough, and cold.
Not so very good.
Not good at all. And the other one is Arsudeep Prabhu, and he says that he also liked the point of being efficient at work. And then we have Pratima Mataji from Sacramento, and she really liked the purport of text number 96, the last lines of that. And where it says, material disease can be cured only by Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets reminded of what some devotee tells her, that there is only spiritual solutions to material problems. Material problems have no material solutions. And let me see, there's one more from Lavanya Mataji. And she says, 4 days of sheer nectar. I hope we can get it all the way to Gaur Purnima. And there is Subhadra Mataji, and she found about this class through Bhumi Mataji's Facebook. So
who is that?
Let me just go on. Subhadra, let me just pronounce her name correctly. Subhadra Mataji.
Subhadra.
Yeah, Subhadra Mataji.
Welcome, Subhadra.
And Hansapriya Mataji says, I feel if I don't surrender, I wouldn't get incense. Well, Hansapriya Mataji, can you retext that, please? And there's a question. There's a question from Nikhil Prabhu. He wants to know if you can explain what exactly is true surrender.
There's six parts to surrender. And the first is to accept things favorable for devotional service. And their second part is to reject things that are unfavorable to devotional service. The third is to consider that Krishna is my maintainer. And the fourth is to consider that Krishna is my protector. The fifth is to always maintain humility in life. And the last is to consider everything that one has to belong to the Supreme Personality of God, including oneself. So accepting things favorable for devotional service means it's a very active process. You have to look and see, consider what's most favorable for my devotional service. Now, for those of us who live in this material world and have to make decisions, you can make the decisions based on what's most favorable for your devotional service. For instance, if you're going to live one place or another, maybe there's a way in which... can you give this to Yashoda Kumar, please? There's a way in which if you live in one place, you get... more money, but you won't have devotee association or something like that. And the other place, you'll make less money and you'll have more devotee association. What's favorable for devotional service? Of course, you might want to talk that over. Someone wrote me recently and said, I can make more money in one place and I'd like to give it to the temple, but I won't have devotee association. Or I can live another place. I'll have devotee association, but I'll make less money and I can give less money. And my main service is giving money to the devotees. He gives 50% of his income to the devotees. So that means you have to consider these things a little carefully. It's not always black and white. It's never black and white. You have to make careful decisions, but you should base it on this mission statement of, I accept whatever is most favorable for devotional service, and then rejecting things that are unfavorable. If it's not looking good, if it's not helping your devotional service, you have to consider giving it up, and then give it up. And that's surrender. I don't want to give it up. You have to. You're going to be surrendered. You got to give it up. And then considering Krishna one's maintainer, there's the idea that I'm maintaining myself, my boss is maintaining me, and so forth, but actually Krishna is my maintainer in all circumstances. And he's my protector also. Mari Krishna Rakhi Ke, Rakhi Krishna Mari Ke. That if Krishna wants to protect me, nobody can kill me, and if Krishna wants to kill me, nobody can protect me. Doesn't mean you don't wear a safety belt. Because we have to do due diligence. But at the same time, we depend on Krishna. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj said. Balasya neha sharanam pitaram nishingha. He's praying to Lord Nrisimhadev. He said that parents can't protect their children, medicine can't save a sick person, and a boat on water can't save a drowning man if the Lord doesn't sanction it. So we can consider, do the best you can to do your duty to protect your children, to take medicine when you're sick, and so forth. But understand that it's only working because of the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada quotes the Ayurveda in his books. And there's an Ayurvedic verse, actually it's in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, so it's Sanatana Goswami quotes the Ayurveda, and he says that The Ayurveda says, whatever medicine you take, unless it's sanctioned by the Supreme Lord, it doesn't work anyway. So, in fact, you're supposed to say the mantra when you take the medicine. Like you could take all the medicine in the world, and it can be the best quality and so forth, but the Lord doesn't want it to happen, it won't work. So those are protection and maintenance. And then once you cultivate humility, someone asked me, I think it was, and Nicole mentioned this about humility. What is humility? How to cultivate humility. And really, one place, in a very practical way, it begins with speech. Narada Muni says in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita that in all places, all times, and all circumstances, with one's body, mind, and words, one should cultivate humility. So a good place to start is with your speech. Is your speech humble? Are you speaking in a humble way? Are you following the austerity of speech and so forth? That will direct. And then finally, one should consider that everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. And you see with Radhanath Maharaj, when he comes here, sometimes people give him all kinds of Guru Dakshina, and then one time he was just handing it over to me, because he just hands it over to the temple before he leaves, usually. And I said, well, you're handing all this over. He goes, well, it's not mine. It's Krishna's. You know, he said it in such a way, it's like, it wasn't even a consideration. It was like, well, it's not mine. So there's a way in which devotees who are surrendered, they're not considering anything to be theirs. They consider it belongs to Krishna. Of course, that doesn't mean that you, again, neglect things that are given to you for your care and say, well, it's not mine. You know, so I let it sit out and get rusted. It's not mine. It's Krishna's, so you should take better care of it, you know, for his service and so forth. So those six limbs of surrender. What else, Shraddha?
So Hansambhya Mataji says that she's just absorbing the nectar and she thanks you for sharing that with us.
Sharing means caring.
I hope you heard that, Hansambhya Mataji. And we have a Haribol from Naradevi Dasi in Naradevi Dasi in Missouri. From Missouri.
Which Devi?
Naradevi Dasi.
Naradevi Dasi in Missouri. Thanks for joining us. Hare Krishna.
And then Sundarananda Prabhu says that he wishes that he had more conscious living than mechanical to be able to practice surrender.
That's nice, Sundarananda Prabhu. More conscious living than mechanical living. More conscious living. Okay.
And Gandharvika Mataji says that the cleaning example has helped me clean my home and it is very peaceful.
Don't you just love cleaning your house? That's one of my favorite pastimes. I mean, just to have the opportunity to sweep. It's such a simple activity to sweep and clean and everything like that. And it never fails, but when I clean my whole room, clean the altar room, things like that, I always feel peace afterwards. And it's like, okay, I can start over now. So that's part of spiritual life, the Pancharatrik life, you know, keep oneself clean. It's a worthy occupation, that kind of cleaning. Yeah, what else? Okay, that's it for now. We've cleared the backlog. Keep those texts coming in. You want to hear a little bit more from the Chaitanya Charitamrita? Okay. Yes, it was important to note that Advaitacharya, having appeared, he found the world devoid of devotional service to Sri Krishna because people were engrossed in material affairs. Everyone was engaged in material enjoyment, whether sinfully or virtuously. No one was interested in the transcendental service of the Lord, which can give total relief from the repetition of birth and death. Did I just read that purport already? Number 97? Did I do that one? The purport says, Advaitacharya saw the entire world to be engaged in activities of material piety. Number 98 says, seeing the activities of the world, the Acharya felt compassion and began to ponder how he could act for the people's benefit. Purport, this sort of serious interest in the welfare of the public makes one a bona fide Acharya. An Acharya does not exploit his followers. Since the Acharya is a confidential servitor of the Lord, his heart is always full of compassion for humanity in its suffering. He knows that all suffering is due to the absence of devotional service to the Lord, and therefore he always tries to find ways to change people's activities, making them favorable for the attainment of devotion. That is the qualification of an Acharya. Although Sri Advaita Prabhu himself was powerful enough to do the work as a submissive servitor, he thought that without the personal appearance of the Lord, no one could improve the fallen condition of society. In the grim clutches of Maya, the first-class prisoners of this material world wrongly think themselves happy because they are rich, powerful, resourceful, and so on. These foolish creatures do not know that they are nothing but play dolls in the hands of material nature, and that at any moment material nature's pitiless intrigues can crush to dust all their plans for godless activity. Such foolish prisoners cannot see that, however, they improve their position for artificial means. The calamities of repeated birth and death, disease and old age are always beyond the jurisdiction of their control. Foolish as they are, they neglect these major problems of life and busy themselves with false things that cannot help them solve their real problems. They know that they do not want to suffer death or the pangs of disease and old age, but under the influence of the illusory energy, they are grossly negligent and therefore do nothing to solve the problems. This is called Maya. People held in the grip of Maya are thrown into oblivion after death. People held in the grip of Maya are thrown into oblivion at death. What is oblivion? You don't want to be thrown into oblivion, right? People held in the grip of Maya are thrown into oblivion. Means?
It's the state of being completely forgotten or unknown.
The state of being completely forgotten or unknown.
The state of forgetting or of being oblivious, that is oblivion of sleep. Official disregard or overlooking of offenses, pardon and amnesty. The origin is Middle English, Middle French, Latin, oblivion. The stem of oblivio, it's equivalent to obliv, to forget.
To forget.
And,
yes, so there's these different states of consciousness mentioned in the Shastra. There's awakened consciousness, and then there's sleeping consciousness, and then there's consciousness with no dreams. And actually, even in the so-called awake consciousness in material life is a kind of illusory consciousness. And therefore the Vedas say, awaken to your real life, don't stay in oblivion. But those who die in ignorance have no idea where they're being taken in their next life. And this is considered one of the most dangerous things to do, is to neglect one's consciousness and let it be overgrown with all kinds of speculative ideas and desires and so forth, and then just leave it to chance where one will be taken in one's next life. The devotees are always vigilant to keep their mind and consciousness fixed on Krishna, and they practice throughout this life thinking of Krishna, especially during times when there are trials, because the greatest trial comes at the time of leaving this body. And you can see that there's nothing quite that measures up to that in this lifetime. Whatever kinds of trials you think you're undergoing here at death, it's very difficult. I was with my mother when she left, and she told me one thing that really stuck in my mind when she was getting ready to leave her body. Should I say it?
Haribo.
She said, "I never want to have to do this again." It said a lot, because you know she was realizing that it was something happening to her and that it could happen again and so forth. And she said it with such earnestness that, "I never want to have to do this again." But we've done it. It It's been done so many times, and because of oblivion, because of complete forgetfulness, and this la-di-da consciousness that let me just go on enjoying and forget about it. So devotees are very careful to cultivate this strength of consciousness to be able to think of Krishna in all circumstances. This is called Maya. People held in the grip of Maya are thrown into oblivion at death. And as a result of their karma, in their next life they become dogs or gods, although most of them become dogs. To become gods in the next life, they must engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, they are sure to become dogs or hogs in terms of the laws of nature. The third class prisoners, being less materially opulent than the first class prisoners, endeavor to imitate them, for they also have no information of their real nature of their imprisonment. Thus, they are misled by the illusory material nature. The function of the acharya, however, is to change the activities of both the first class and third class prisoners for their real benefit. This endeavor makes him a very dear devotee of the Lord, who says clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that no one in human society is dearer to him than a devotee who constantly engages in his service by finding ways to preach the message of Godhead for the real benefit of the world. The so-called acharyas of the age of Kali are more concerned with exploiting the resources of their followers than mitigating their miseries. But Sri Advaita Prabhu, as an ideal acharya, was concerned with improving the condition of the world situation. Yes.
Actually, I've got two messages about devotees who are engaged in the service of the Lord.
Yeah.
If I have permission, may I read those?
Yeah.
So the first one is from Sudeep Prabhu, who actually made an observation based on all the Haribols that we have been getting, that he says his thanks to Ramananda Sakha Prabhu that so many people are able to join the class because of the wonderful broadcast that he does. So Haribol to Ramananda Sakha Prabhu.
Haribol!
Come on out here, Ramananda. Ramananda?
Please come in front of the
there
camera.
There he is. Okay.
The second message is from Bhumi Mataji.
Oh.
And she says that I so much miss these classes when Vaishya Shikhar Prabhu is away. They are my lifeline.
Thank you, Bhumi.
And she's also telling us about Naradevi Mataji, but I was not pronouncing properly. So she says Naradevi is from Missouri, and she's our god sister, and she transcribed at the BBT. As a matter of fact, good chance that what you're reading was originally transcribed by her. All glories to the pioneers of this movement.
Jai. Hare Krishna. N-A-R-A?
N-A-R-A.
Naradevi.
Naradevi, yeah.
Jai.
And Sundaranand Prabhu has a question that you can address at some point. Like, he's looking for some tips on how to practice surrender when chanting.
Well, tips on how to practice surrender when chanting.
Yes.
One thing is to take some time before chanting, even 30 seconds or a couple minutes, to think about one's helpless position. And this can be considered, actually, that I am helpless. Consider that your heart is beating right now, but you can't help it if it stops. And you're breathing right now, but actually you're being breathed. It's like a breathing machine. And we really don't know when our next breath is coming. I take it for granted, but if my breathing stops or is inhibited, then when I get it back, I'm very grateful. In fact, people all the time will, after a harrowing experience of almost losing your life or being choked or something like that, then they'll pray to God and they'll say, thank you for saving me, I'll be good from now on, and so forth. And there's a natural way, even in the womb, it's mentioned by Lord Kapila Dev, the living entity, because he's in such a compromised situation, he prays to God piteously, saying, please help me, and so forth. So one can actually attain that state through introspection. And this helps to keep one very humble and also to consider surrender. It's actually ludicrous in a way to think that I won't surrender, because I'm being forced by material nature to surrender to all kinds of abominable kinds of things. And an intelligent person whose spiritual awareness awakens then makes the conscious choice that let me surrender. So try introspection. Sit and think how helpless I am, and that there's no other hope for me than Krishna if you protect me. Therefore I surrender to you. And if you just say the words and think about them, that I surrender, and think what it means, be conscious of it, that helps. Another point? Thank you. You're
Thank
welcome.
You from Saudi Arabia.
Oh,
Rajesh Prabhu, his wife Ajalpa, and the kids Yashasri and Himanshi are thanking you for explaining the six limbs of surrender.
Oh, good. Okay, Hare Krishna to all of you in Saudi. Okay, we're taking up. Did I finish the purport? Good. 99. Apani Shri Krishna Jari Karina Avatar Apani Achari Bhakti Karina Prachar. Advaita Acharya thought, if Sri Krishna were to appear as an incarnation, he himself could preach devotion by his personal example. In this age of Kali, there is no religion other than the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. But how in this age will the Lord appear as an incarnation? I shall worship Krishna in a purified state of mind. I shall constantly petition him in humbleness. This is also an important verse to remember for chanting our japa. Remember how Advaita Acharya petitioned the Lord. So when we're chanting, we're not just doing something to finish a certain number, but we should make a petition that, Krishna, I'm really lost. Krishna, I really don't have any other recourse. Krishna, I don't have any qualities. I don't have anything. This is the mood to chant in. It means akinchan. I don't have anything. I'm lost. I'm helpless. I'm petitioning you. Please help me. And this is the mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Unless one is on the edge of one's seat when chanting, that means in this state where one's feeling that I'm in a precarious situation, Krishna, please help me. Then we haven't actually chanted. We haven't actually chanted. I'm allowing the mind to run around and do some shopping while I'm chanting and so forth. This kind of chanting won't be that effective. But chanting where I'm on the edge of the seat, feeling like I'm completely helpless and I need Krishna's help. And this is the idea that Advaita Acharya was calling out to the Lord, petitioning him in loud cries. That's what actually attracts the Lord's attention. 102. My name Advaita will be fitting if I am able to induce Krishna to inaugurate the movement of the chanting of the holy name. Purport. The non-dualist Mayavadi philosopher who falsely believes that he is non-different from the Lord is unable to call him like Advaita Prabhu. Advaita Prabhu is non-different from the Lord. Yet in his relationship with the Lord, he does not merge with him, but eternally renders service unto him as a plenary portion. This is inconceivable for Mayavadis because they think in terms of mundane sense perception and therefore think that non-dualism necessitates losing one's separate identity. It is clear from this verse, however, that Advaita Prabhu, although retaining his separate identity, is non-different from the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached the philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous oneness with the Lord and difference from him. Conceivable dualism and monism are conceptions of the imperfect senses, which are unable to reach the transcendence because the transcendence is beyond the conception of limited potency. The actions of Sri Advaita Prabhu, however, give tangible proof of inconceivable non-dualism. One who therefore surrenders unto Sri Advaita Prabhu can easily follow the philosophy of inconceivable simultaneous dualism and monism. There's a nice idea too, surrendering to Sri Advaita Prabhu. Because just think, what an acharya he is, that he's thinking about the welfare of all living entities. And therefore, what if one surrendered to him? What if one said, I'm in need of your mercy, please help me? Obviously, the devotees are looking for surrendered souls who they can help. So if one submits oneself, one will certainly get the help of such acharyas, Advaitacharya, like Advaitacharya. Therefore we say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi, Gaur Bhaktivinoda, and we submit ourselves to them. Text 103, Krishna Bhash Karibhina Kun Aradhane, Vicharite Eka Shloka Aila Tarmane. While he was thinking about how to propitiate Krishna by worship, the following verse came to his mind. Tulasi dhalamatrena jalasya chulakenava vikrinite sum atmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsalaha. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulsi leaf and a palm full of water. This verse is from the Gotamiya Tantra. Where is it from? And now we're going to sing a song from the, not from the Gotamiya Tantra, but since Priya Kishori is here, she can play the harmonium, I'm quite sure. And we'll sing a song from the songbook. And the song is by Lochan Das Thakur. And it's called Parama Karuna. And it's on page number 124. Can I have a kirtan? Lord Nitai and Lord Gaurachandra are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduced a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. My dear brothers, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. Become absorbed in worshipping Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any material motive. My dear brothers, just try to examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Their merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and beasts cry and stones melt. But I, Lochan Das, regret that I am entrapped by sense gratification. I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and therefore Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted to this movement. Parama Karuna Bhondvijana Nitai Gaura Chandra Parama Karuna Bahundvijana Nitai Gaura Chandra Parama Karuna Bahundvijana Nitai Gaura Chandra. Ahundvijana. Sabhavata Sarashiramani Kevala Nanda Kanda. Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sudridha Vishvasa Kori Vishaya Chadiya Sera Se Majiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari Dheka Ore Bhai Tribhuvane Nai Emana Doya Ladatha Pashubhakhi Jure Pashana Vidare Shuni Jar Guna Gata Pashubhakhi Jure Pashana Vidare Shuni Jar Guna Gata Sangsare Majiya Rohili poriya shepari nahi lo asha Sankare mahiya rohili poriya shepari nahi lo asha Apana karma vanjaye shamana Kahe lochana dasa Apana karma bunjaye samana Kahe lochana dasa Parama karuna pahundui jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Nitai Gaura Chandra Nitai Gaura Chandra And now we're going to sing the song of separation from the Vaishnavas, and that is because today is disappearance day of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and also Rasikananda Prabhu. What page?
91.
And today is the disappearance of Tamal Krishna Maharaj also. I remember I was in Hawaii. What year was it? Huh? 2002? Satyadeva Prabhu and I were in the Hawaii temple giving the evening program. Okay, so what page? 91. Okay. Kartals. Okay. That helps. Thank you. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. I can tell you that he was known as the chief of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Sarvabhauma Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And he was very much detached from the material world, no interest in the material world at all. Once when he was walking in the road, actually he was carried, because he became elderly, he was in his over 100 years old, 120 years they say he lived till, couldn't walk, so one of his disciples used to carry him in a basket. And once somebody came up and gave him a rupee, which was a lot of money at that time actually, and he took it, and then he got a mile down the road and he told his disciple to turn around and go back. Mm-hmm. They went back and he found that person. He said, please take it back. He said, it's too heavy, I can't carry this thing around. He said, I don't know, you have so many of them, I don't know how you carry them all around. He was so sensitive to his bhajan, and that he had no interest in interacting in the material world. Of course, there are also those in our line who will take so many rupees and even ask for them for the sake of engaging them in Krishna's service, but we also see in our line these bhajananandis who are completely absorbed in chanting the holy name of the Lord and completely detached from the material world. He is known for also telling his followers that they should be steady in their devotional service, even at the cost of their own lives. And his samadhi is there in Navadvip, a very beautiful, serene place that we just visited recently. And he was taken as the Shiksha Guru of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and said that Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and others, sometimes they would, you know, hear and chant together, collaborate about the Krishna consciousness movement and so forth. So anyway, we come in this line from devotees who are Shuddha Bhaktas. Rasikananda Prabhu, there's a book about him that we read one year, very intriguing. Another great Vaishnav in our line that not many devotees know about. But he was completely surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, one pastime where there was a mad elephant that was in the village, and he subdued that elephant and initiated him. He whispered the mantra in his ear, and he gave him the name Gopal, and the elephant surrendered, and so forth. The power of the great Vaishnavas. So we're remembering them. When a Vaishnav leaves this world, it's a great source of lamentation for those who then have to suffer in separation. There's no greater suffering, there is no suffering except for separation from the Vaishnavas in this world. There's no lamentation for them leaving in the sense that people ordinarily lament that, oh, such and such died. Now they, you know, they're going to miss out on something here. The Vaishnavas never miss anything because they're simply going on with their service somewhere else. But for our sake, we remember them and hanker for their association. And on a transcendental level, it's always available to us. So we remember them in separation and remember their instructions and go on practicing under their shelter, and therefore we're never disconnected. This is a beautiful song by from the Prarthana by Nartan Das Thakur. It's a lament and remembering the Vaishnavas. The translation is, he who brought the treasure of divine love and who is filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against a rock and enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Nartan Das simply weeps. And of course, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was one of the early pioneers. I guess pioneers are usually early. That's maybe redundant. He was one of the pioneers of the Krishna consciousness movement. And he was a well-known personality in the Krishna consciousness movement. But for his innovation and for his fiery nature, in some ways, he was very meticulous. He, I found him to be a very wonderful devotee. I knew him from the Radha Damodar days. Vishnujan Prabhu, who was a very charismatic personality. I first saw him in the San Francisco temple, and when I was a brahmachari, and he was a larger than life sannyasi, and his kirtans were always stimulating and exuberant, and he had unlimited energy for Krishna consciousness. He had started the Radha Damodar bus, and then Tamal Krishna Maharaj came back from India and joined him. The two of them collaborated, and with the charisma of Vishnujan Swami and the management expertise of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they expanded the number of buses, and they were crisscrossing the nation everywhere with brahmacharis packed in these buses. They had kitchen. They had outfit each one of the buses, so there was a little kitchen in there, and then the deities would be on the altar and the little temple room in there, and then the books would go underneath in the bay. And they would travel, and they just pull into a campground and they'd sleep in there. There are lots of stories about people in middle America, you know, early in the morning seeing all these brahmacharis emerge with shaved heads and bead bags and things like that. Once one of the Radha Damodar buses pulled into a campground, and the brahmacharis were out, you know, chanting their japa in the morning like this, and someone called the police and said they have these bags and they're shaking herbs all over the they thought they were doing some incantation and they were shaking herbs. In any case, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was at one point Srila Prabhupada asked him to go to China. It was under really interesting circumstances because there was a big kerfuffle in ISKCON at the time, in Mayapur. It had come to a head because there was sort of a revolution amongst the temple presidents and grihasthas who felt they were sort of being pushed out of the way for the sake of the sannyasis and so forth. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was sort of pushing really hard on one side. And a lot of leaders just wanted to resign, and so this was all put at Prabhupada's doorstep because that's where everything ended up. You can imagine, Prabhupada was trying to translate his books. I mean, even one temple president nowadays, if you have a cell phone, it rings all day long, and everyone's like, "What about you? He said you, but he told me you know what to speak of Prabhupada running an international movement." Everyone came and dumped everything on him, and he had to deal with it. So the way he dealt with things was always very interesting. You know, and so this thing had happened. It was a big thing, you know, a big turning point in the movement, you know, what was going to happen now. So Tamal Krishnamurti is one of the big preachers in America and everything. So Prabhupada called him in his room, and they were talking about this coup d'etat, this kind of revolution that was going on, and you know, to some degree he was, you know, the cause of, you know, some of this friction. And so he just said to Prabhupada, "Well, you know, I might as well just, no one appreciates me, I should just go to China." And Prabhupada said, "Yes." "Krishna has spoken through you. You should go to China. That's it." And then he couldn't believe it. He had just said it. And he was like, no, I didn't mean, you know. But as a surrendered soul, he did go to China. I remember, China was totally closed. Of course, it's still pretty closed nowadays. The devotees have to be undercover, but there's thousands of them now. And in the early days, you know, he went there. They staged it out of Hong Kong, because Hong Kong was still under the British at that time. So they would go there, and they had, you know, special clothes made, and they had to grow their hair out in order to go into China and preach and so forth. And it was a big deal, but he did it. And still, you can see in the Dallas temple, that was Tamal Krishnamurti had based himself there, and he built that beautiful temple. And the devotees that are all there in Dallas are exemplary. He was a very exacting and devotional figure. And he left very unexpectedly. You know, he had become a scholar. He had gone and gotten a PhD, or almost a PhD. Maybe, I can't remember, did he finish? Yeah, he finished his PhD. And in any case, he had gone in academia. He'd become distinguished because very quickly he rose to the top. He was very, very intelligent and a great student, and well respected by his professors, and became a spokesperson for the Hare Krishna movement. He went to the university as a sannyasi, you know, with the shaved head and his dhoti, and there he was. As one of the great students and scholars and so forth. And so he had finished all that, and he was moving on to the next phase of his preaching and so forth. And he had been in Mayapur, and I guess it was 2002. And during that year, he was holding, up in his room, he was holding these kirtans, these bhajans, that were very sweet. And lots of people were coming and cramming in. In fact, they had to get a bigger room so more people could fit. And for hours at every evening, they were chanting and chanting and chanting. And then he and a couple of disciples were driving out of Mayapur one morning, early in the morning, and the driver fell asleep and went off the road. Pardon me? Kalasundara. Kalasambar, yeah. And his wife. And the driver who was... the trusted driver, because Tamal Krishnamurti was very particular about everything, and you know, he had this special driver who he trusted, but the driver fell asleep and went off the road, and they, you know, so the news came back to the devotees there in Mayapur that Tamal Krishnamurti had left his body, and no one could believe it. It was a mid-festival too, so all the devotees were there, and they became very distraught. They went and got his body. When the local Bengali population heard about the fact that sannyasi, guru, this one of the early disciples of Prabhupada, had left his body, and they were bringing his body in the car, they wouldn't let the car pass. There were tens of thousands of Bengalis on the road, and they all wanted to have darshan of the body before they could let it go past. So it took hours and hours for them to bring his body back to Mayapur and so forth. And then there was some dispute about where he was to be put in samadhi. That his very close friend, Keshav Bharti Maharaj happened to be there, and he just happened to have gotten a letter from him and had talked to him recently about where he wanted to have his samadhi. It had been written in one place, it was Vrindavan, but then he had revised that, wanted to be in Mayapur and so forth, so that there was a lot that happened, you know, during that time, and it shook up a lot of devotees. I know one god brother who was deeply affected was Yadubar Prabhu, who was there for the kirtans, and he was so moved by them, and then the experience of suddenly losing a god brother like that, it transformed his devotional life, and he went and actually studied the art of bhajan and kirtan, and you know, learned a lot of those same bhajans and is still singing them. In fact, he just sang yesterday at the at the Mayapur Kirtan Mellows program. So it's a big deal when you can think about it now. There's devotees that we can't live without. At least I think about it a lot. It's like I have a list of devotees I can't live without. And what will I do when they leave? That's the mood of this song. It's like, I'm finished. You know, what am I going to do now? So this, we have to enter into this feeling with these great Vaishnavs. We should feel deep separation from the great Vaishnavs and cultivate knowledge of them, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Rasikananda Prabhu, and then, of course, those devotees that are close to us when they leave. Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj, he left a few years ago. I remember seeing him. I just happened to get to Vrindavan right after he had passed, and they had his body there taking a darshan of Krishna Balaram and so forth, and they put him in samadhi. So we went to that ceremony, and one remembers the service of such devotees, how Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj had walked with Prabhupada on all those walks, and how Prabhupada deferred to him on scientific issues and glorified the book that he wrote. And one thinks of the service record of these devotees, what they did to serve their spiritual master throughout their life. And then we think, well, how are we going to go on without them? You know, what do we do now? And this is the greatest kind of suffering for the devotees. Therefore, the emotional nature of this song, I will smash my head against the stone, I'll enter into fire, that'll be more pleasing than the feeling of being separated from these great souls. So let's sing this song with remembrance of the great Vaishnavas. And we can pray that someday may I have the opportunity of serving these great Vaishnavas and to attain their blessings, that I may have even one tinge of a Vaishnav quality. Jaya Nilo Prema Dhana Karuna Prachu Anilo prima danna karuna prachu Gila Charya Taku He no Prabhu Kota Gila Charya Yataku Yataku Kaha mora swarup rupa ka sanata. Patita Pavan Kaha Mora Bhata Juga Kaha Kavira Natara Ashane ku tibo mata anale pashibo Gile babo Shishaba sangira sange Jekoilo vila Jaya Vaishnav Thakur Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. Gaur Premanande Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai, Rasikananda Mahashai Ki Jai, Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. We have available Hare Krishna, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the most esoteric spiritual writing available on the planet, in 9 volumes, printed by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, translated by Prabhupada, and now available all over the planet. And we are making ISV, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, at Silicon Valley, one of the main distribution points for this book, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very few people on the planet have this book right now. So the devotees who are managing the distribution of these books, maybe mistakenly, but could be a clerical error, they set the price at only $99 for the entire set. This is, we're going to get to the bottom of this at some point, who set the price so low. But in any case, they're available. And we've ordered a warehouse full of these books, and our intention is to give them out to people all over the world. Doesn't matter where you live. We'll ship. There's just a little bit extra for shipping. But you can text in if you'd like one of these, or anyone who's here can take the set of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you already have one, then see if you have an upstairs and downstairs. Make sure that both rooms have, both floors have. If you have multiple rooms, make sure each room has. If you have multiple relatives, make sure each relative has. If you have multiple friends, make sure each friend has. There's no greater gift. I mean, what if you went and dropped this on somebody today and just swung by and said, I have something for you, and to tell them about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ask them to put these in their home. What would be the result, do you think? What might happen? They would change? Yeah. There would be a transformation. Shraddha, I see you're grabbing from the microphone. Anything?
Yeah, I was just going to say they'll get out of the cycle of birth and death.
They'll get out of the cycle of birth and death, only.
I was also, and you know, achieve the lotus feet of the Lord.
And they'll achieve the lotus feet of the Lord?
Yeah.
They'll become happy? And you'll become happy?
So, Maharaj, there was a comment that I was trying to restrain myself from making from a little while ago, but I just thought that I'll just take a minute or two to express that. So when you were talking about Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and you said that one of the things that he was very particular about was determination in devotional service.
Steadiness
in devotional service. And when we were at the Mayapur Yatra this year, and we were at the Jagannath Das, his Samadhi, Then, if you remember, there was a group of Chinese devotees who had come there.
Yeah.
And when you were singing the kirtan, they were all dancing so ecstatically. It was a very beautiful moment. And at that time, I was thinking that, you know, for people who are in China, where it's very difficult, it must be so very difficult for these people to go to Krishna consciousness and then practice it and then come all the way over to India, wear Indian clothes. I mean, like, it's so difficult. Somebody could question them at the airport back in China that, where are you going, what are you doing, what is all this? And I was, you know, admiring all that. And then today you talked about Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that he was the one who went to China. So we can see the effects of all those Vaishnavas coming through. And then, you know, we go back and look at the source of that, and we about Naradevi Dasi, who was transcribing, and of course Prabhupada, who was dictating and all that. So there's so much that these Vaishnavas who have gone by have done, and also those who are continuing are doing, including you. So as a mark of gratitude to them, I'd like to sponsor 5 boxes of Chaitanya.
5 boxes. Well, with a preamble like that, I knew something was coming. So Shraddha Devi Dasi is sponsoring 5 boxes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Well, thank you for inspiring us, Nara Devi Dasi, Bhumi, and all others who are online. I think that's a wonderful gesture, sponsor five boxes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyone else who wants one, let us know. We have a no book left behind policy, which was started by George W. Bush or his wife, I can't remember which. And now we're going to have a Guru Puja, which is a joyful ceremony. We have the opportunity to worship our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who brought all of this, the great gift of Krishna consciousness, to the Western world, the immense sacrifice, and with full determination, he methodically spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And today we're sitting huddled at his lotus feet, following the process that he laid out, reading the books that he gave us, taking full shelter of the founder Acharya. So we can get great encouragement and strength by worshiping him through the Guru Puja ceremony and thinking deeply about what it means. Just by worshiping the Vaishnav, one can attain all success in devotional service. So we have that opportunity. And we're specifically doing that here just so that we can express our gratitude and also be able to find our way forward in devotional service. So we'll now, with great alacrity but efficiency, put away all of our books and book stands and asans, and then we can stand up and have a kirtan, including the Guru Puja for Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Advaita Charya Prabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Can I get a Haribo? Gaur Premanande.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.